It's because we get to hear people's stories about how Jesus has changed lives. And just want to very quickly, if it's there. Yeah. I'm going to give you five reasons why we baptize. So turn to the person next to you, say, he's only got 5 points. Is that good or bad? I've got 5 points. Five. I'll be done the first two in about 30 seconds, so you'll be encouraged. But we baptize people. We're clear on that. We baptize young adults like Brian. We baptize adults. But I think it's one of the most significant things that we do as a church. You might be thinking, why don't we sprinkle babies? There are church traditions that do that. Why do we continue to baptize those who've already made a choice to follow Jesus? I'm going to give you five quick reasons why we do that, okay? First one, Jesus himself was baptized. He allowed himself to be baptized, even though he didn't have to. We're on to the next slide. Carl, this is moving at super speed, so just so you know. Even though Jesus himself didn't have sins to be washed away, nor did he need to die to his old life, Jesus chose to identify himself with us as human beings. He was not ashamed to stand with us. So his example is to us as people. We need to follow him. Secondly, scripture says this, and I do apologize for the Z in there. It is an American slide. I tried to find an English slide with an S, which is the correct way of spelling it. Anyway, but it says in Acts 2:38, Peter preached, said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It's commanded, Jesus commanded us to repent, to believe, and to be baptized. It's part of being a follower of Jesus. Now, we all get there at different points. For some, it comes very quickly after their confession of Jesus as Lord. For others, it takes a bit longer. But we do it because Jesus said to do it. That's number two. You could turn to your neighbor and say, this is going really well. This is going to be very short. So we could stop there, can't we? Number three. We could just stop there. We could, just for those two reasons, that would be enough for us. But there is more. There's so much more about baptism that is so important as a life, for the life of a follower of Jesus. Now, actually, when you think about it, putting someone, putting an adult underwater in a tank that we've constructed in a building is a bit of an odd thing to do, you will agree. It doesn't happen in normal life. I'm going to immerse myself fully clothed in water. You know, we go swimming, we all understand that. It seems like to some, doesn't it, that it's quite a strange thing to do. Why do we do this public act of after conversion? Because the three of them, Brian and Chloe and Michelle, have all experienced Jesus. They've all had their lives turned around. They've all experienced life change and transformation. So why isn't that enough? Because I believe baptism is a public declaration of an inner change. There's something very public about it. That freaks some people out. You know, for others, they're more comfortable with that. But it's public. We're doing this with people watching and being part of it and sharing it. But it talks about an inner change. Baptism describes an inner change. It's a point of decision. It's a marking out. You know, they're now saying, each one of them, that where they are now, this is it for life. There's no going back. They're now followers of Jesus for life. You heard Chloe say that, and Michelle and Brian. They found Jesus to be the way, the truth, and the life, and they're not going back. They found the best thing in life. Their faith is now their own. It's not the faith of their parents. It's not the faith of their culture, but they've found a personal living faith in Jesus Christ. They've now cut themselves off to their old allegiances of the world, and they're living for new priorities. Now you might say, well, that sounds a little bit radical, cutting off old allegiances, living for a new person who's going to be in charge of our lives. But that's exactly what baptism is. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It's a U-turn. It's a complete 180 from where we were living to a new direction for our lives. And there are several pictures. Here's one of those pictures of what baptism is all about for someone who believes in Jesus, about this inner change that we're talking about. We believe in Jesus, there is a burial and a new birth. Colossians 2:12 says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God. And as we repent of our sin, as we renounce the devil, there's a couple, there you go, and all the darkness that we used to participate in, our old life is buried. We identify with Jesus' death. It's as if we are being buried as Jesus was buried. Our old life was put to death, but then we're raised up again. We will bring them up again. We won't just push them down under the water. We will bring them back. And that is really important for lots of reasons. But it's important because it symbolizes this coming back to new life. I did say to a group of young people on Friday, we hold them down till they die and then we bring them up. They're not Christians. They looked at me like I was completely insane. And I did explain very quickly that is metaphorical. But this event marks a moment. It marks an end to their old life. Chloe, Michelle and Brian are saying the old person is dead. The new one is alive. It's alive to God. It's alive to all God's purposes and plans and things that he wants to do in my life. So it's about an inner change. You can do the next one. And as they come out, they're proclaiming they've got a new boss, a new master who calls the shots in their lives. But there are three other pictures, quickly. First one is washing. Washing away sin. You know, I used to, as a young lad, I would go out every day, get very, very muddy, very dirty, in rivers and lakes and fields and trees and all kinds of things. And my mum would wash my clothes, and I would get a shower or a bath and I would be clean. And that was a nice feeling. But how much better is it that we can be washed of our sin? And Jesus washes us of our past. He washes us of the guilt and the shame that we carried in our old lives. And I can tell you there are many people around who are carrying guilt and shame. But as we come to Christ, he washes us. And this baptism is a picture of that. We're getting clean. We're getting clean again. And the good news is we can keep coming back. As a Christian, we found a place where we can get clean. And we can keep getting clean. And we can go back. And we can go back. We can come back to this place of cleansing. And it's good for you guys to remember that, those being baptized. That this is a place in Jesus we can come back to, no matter where we feel like we've messed up. There was a song I was listening to the other day that said there are so many second chances because of the cross. And we can have second chances. We're going to mess up, but Jesus can wash us. Third picture is about joining a family. The Bible talks about being baptized into a body. We join the body of Christ. We're part of a family. God's family, the church. And that's why we do it publicly. You know, you could get baptized in your own bathtub with, you know, one person there, or even do it yourself. But there is something significant and public about being baptized. You could just do that, Ben. If you're wondering how you do it, you just crouch and, yeah. But actually, we're committed to one another. And God puts us in a body. He puts us in a family. That's where we learn to love one another and learn to accept one another, where we learn what our gifts are and how we can serve and use them to build each other up. It's in the local church family that God does that. There's no such thing as lone ranger Christians who are just out there on their own trying to do it all. Actually, God has brought us into a family. And that's a picture here. Baptism is a picture of being joined to this family. And then finally, it's about drinking. Now, I'm not encouraging them to open their mouths as they are baptized and take a good gulp of the water. Derek, it is just tap water, isn't it? It's not, there's nothing special in it, or you haven't done anything to it. No, good. It's clean, but I'm still not encouraged. That's not the kind of drinking I'm talking about. But when we believe in Jesus, we find a place where we can have our thirst satisfied. Our thirst for life, our thirst for purpose, we can find that in Jesus. And you know what's amazing? It's a source that never runs out and always brings refreshing and always satisfies. The word baptize in English comes from the Greek word baptizo and means to drown, sink, plunge, or soak. It's used when a ship sank. That's a good picture, isn't it? We're going to have a few sinking ships today. But it was also used to describe a ladle being lowered into a barrel of wine. Only got water there, apologies. And then brought out. And at the same time, it's filled with liquid. So it's immersed and it's filled. And that's what we're going to do. It's a picture baptism. As we go into that water, we can take a drink. We can take a drink of God's Spirit. And as believers in Jesus, we can have that constant flow of His Spirit. That's what He promised us, to know that life. And baptism is a picture of that. You know, let me just challenge you, if you're already a believer today, you've been baptized maybe. Are you living in the good of those four things that Jesus has won for us? Are you living in the good of those four things? Have you forgotten just what Jesus did for you on the cross? But those four pictures of drinking, of being washed, of joining the family, of burial and new life. But I've got a couple more reasons to tell you about. Number four, why do we baptize? You can go on to it. Now you might be wondering, what on earth is this about? But you know what? Through the centuries, thousands of people, thousands of believers in Jesus have lost their lives to take hold of baptism. These are the Anabaptists, and that was a derogatory term, as so often they were in the 16th, 17th century. They were called the rebaptizers. They were that group that rebaptized as adults, because remember, 16th, 17th century Europe was state church, whether it's Catholic or Protestant. Everyone was baptized as a citizen at birth. But they knew, this group of believers knew, that the Bible taught adult baptism, believers' baptism. And many of them were martyred, persecuted heavily, because they practiced baptism again. So it's something that's costly, but it's also costly around the world. I've mentioned this before, so apologies, but in the Islamic world, if someone comes to their family and says, I'm following Jesus now, there won't be a lot of support, but that'll be one thing. But if they come to their family and say, I'm going to be baptized, the family know that that is a final step when they're going to lose them. And there is great persecution. People are excommunicated, sometimes even killed today for being a follower of Jesus and being baptized. It costs a lot. We want to keep that going. And then the last one is, why is baptism important? Because the enemy opposes it. You know, as we become followers of Jesus and we become baptized, it's almost as if God says, there's another one. There's another one I've rescued. There's another one who belongs to me. And you know what? Chloe and Michelle have experienced that this week. The enemy opposes baptism. He opposes anyone who wants to take steps of commitment and following Jesus. Literally, sometimes all hell breaks loose. It is a significant act of commitment. I'm saying, I'm not going back to my old life. I'm not ashamed to be known as a follower of Jesus. You know, baptism often is that final step, and the enemy opposes it. Just want to say one thing, finally, to end. And that is, you've heard their testimonies today and many others over the years in Hope Church. But it's a family effort to bring people to this point. You know, there is that Nigerian proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child. But it actually takes a church family to raise a disciple. It takes a whole church family to raise a disciple. Chloe and Michelle have had lots of support and input and prayer and encouragement and agonizing from Steve and Glenda and many, many others of you who've been there for them, who've encouraged them, who've sometimes held back and just prayed and just encouraged. You know, that idea behind that saying was that it takes a whole community and not just two parents to bring up a child. The extended family have an important role to play. For example, a child often spends extended periods of time under the care of their grandparents, aunties or uncles. Cousins and siblings also act as role models to their younger family members. You know, that needs to continue for us, doesn't it? As church, that's why we're standing with them today. But each of us needs to know that our lives affects those around us, and particularly those who are new in the faith. And can I encourage you to just continue to examine ourselves. Think about how we speak, what we speak about. It's just an encouragement to those around us because we can make a difference to them. Time has gone. What time is it? Because I haven't got a clock. 4 minutes past. We're going to move over. I don't think we're going to sing. I think we're just going to close in just a moment. But let me just talk to three different groups of people. It's a good time. If you haven't yet made a decision to follow Jesus, can I encourage you to do so? You've heard very clear testimonies. The fact that Jesus, when he died on the cross, died for you and he died for me. He died that we would have our sins forgiven, that we could know a new start, that we could be accepted by God. And I've got some little booklets. They're called Knowing God Personally. And if you at any time over the next hour or so, as we go over to Hope Church Central, you would like to take one to find out how I can know Jesus myself in a way that's been described so well by these guys, then please come and see me. But I want to encourage too, if you're a believer in Jesus today and you haven't yet been baptized, then I would say, what's stopping you? If you can identify the fact that you're no longer living for yourself, but you're living for Jesus, if you can say, I know that Jesus has washed me, I know that I'm part of a body, and I know that I can draw from the Holy Spirit for strength each day, then what's stopping you being baptized? I would encourage you, why don't you talk to one of us, or your home group leader, and make that decision today. We'd love to schedule another baptismal service very soon. And then the last one is, just for those who've been a Christian a while, are you still living with that same passion and that same determination, that same commitment as you did when you gave your life to Jesus at your baptism? Are you still living in that same way? Or maybe you cooled off a little bit. Today's a good day to renew that commitment to Jesus, to renew those vows and to keep living for him. So let's just pray. We're going to close. We're going to have tea and coffee and cakes, and perhaps if we get a little bit of help to pack away, that would be fantastic. And we're going to move over, baptize them over at Hope Church Central. But Father, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for the way that you change lives, Jesus. We thank you that you change lives like no one else can. Thank you, Lord, that it's never too late. We heard that the other week. It's never too late. I believe the Lord wants to say that to somebody this morning. It's not too late. It's not too late. You think it is, but it's not too late to follow me. Lord, we just thank you that you're the one who leads us on. You draw us into new things. You lead us on a new adventure. Lord, just thank you for Chloe and Michelle and Brian. Father, we pray that you would bless them, that you would strengthen them, that they would go from strength to strength. Lord, that they would find deeper places in you. Lord, that they would know just new gifts and talents and abilities that you've given to them that they didn't even know they had. Father, take them deeper in you, we pray, and let their lives shine for you more and more. And we pray that for ourselves, Lord, that our lives would shine for you and many people would come to know you, Lord, through our lives, through this church, in Jesus' name this year. And we ask it in your name. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Quick drink, bit of cake, and then we'll make our way over to Hope. If you don't know where that is, please talk to someone, and that would be great. If we could be there, we'll be there at past 5, would be fantastic. If we could be at Hope Church Central at 12:30.